I don't know about you, but sometimes I need my heart tuned. Great, great hymn. Thank you, Danita. The development with Reverend Gwally was a very, very, very last-minute development. Our brother John Shuey called me middle of the week and said, "Steve, Sanjay is in Pennsylvania this week, or going to be in Pennsylvania next week. He's going to be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. He wants to know if he can arrange something to come visit with you all." He's a district superintendent of the Church of Nazarene in India, in the Mumbai, and different areas, and just some phenomenal work. He's the one through whom we funneled the bikes. I knew he had Tuesday and Wednesday, so I said, "Frank, if you want to do something, here it is." And so Frank was going to tell us about it. I have no idea what time. I don't know what building. I don't know where we're at on the campus. Frank's in charge. So, if you're open Thursday evening, Reverend Gwally, just a great, great guy, and phenomenal ministry. He is Indian, and I love him. And those of you that have encountered him have had that same experience. As Cindy so beautifully pointed out, this table covering here on the wall was given by Reverend Gwally in thanks for those motorbikes. So if you ever see that, that's from Reverend Gwally, made by Indian ladies. Wow. Well, I got a verse that just kept surfacing for me this week, along with a story. "And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Let that one sink in. The main line of this sentence, you know, remember your grammar? Subject, verb, direct object. That whenever you're doing something, you look for that. I remember that much from junior high grammar. You got that one? And this is it in that sentence. "My God will supply all your needs." Alan, does that really mean what it says?
Unfortunately.
Why unfortunately? Oh, well, that takes me to my second question. Thank you, Alan. Nice segue. Do you really live by this promise every day? Now, if you go back to the promise, does it say Saturday? Remember, ancient. Well, this is New Testament, so it's Sunday, Lord's Day. Does it just mean Sunday, Wednesday? Does this promise apply to New Cumberland Church in the Nazarene? Do you think God's going to provide the right person for this church? Sometimes we go through all the process and I'm wondering, okay, Lord, just drop them in. But he works through us and helps us coordinate and plan, and, you know, is it too short, too much? I don't know. But God will supply. What about youth and children's ministries? Are you helping with those ministries? You're part of that supply. Did you know that you were a part of the supply line? Sometimes you feel more like the food chain and someone else is about to eat you alive. If you've responded to that invitation, you're part of God's provision to a child. Think about that. What about finances? Is it okay to, "My God will supply"? That's a pretty big. Usually we tend to offset that. "According to his riches in Christ Jesus," that means our requests have to be in. And you can play a whole lot of time. But there's something about this sentence that bugged me to no end. It starts with an "and." Again, grammarians, what does "and" mean? We need to ask what happened before the "and." right? You're reading along and it says, and you better figure out what the previous side of the and was, right? You see, and in this line hinges the promise to a previous action which became a condition. You knew there was a catch there, didn't you? What does the and of this line connect us to? It prompts us to look at the setting of this promise and identify the actions and the conditions. So let's do that. From the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. The apostle says, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with full stomach or empty. I'd have trouble with that one. With plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's another one of those lines. Play with that one for a while. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. Now I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with our friend Epaphroditus. That's a name and a half, isn't it? Anybody want to name your kid? That's terrible. Your gifts are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Wow. Let's just look at a couple of the key phrases preceding the end. You are concerned about me again. The story of Paul in the Philippians actually is told for us in the book of Acts chapter 16. Paul and his partner in the gospel and missions sailed to Philippi to preach the gospel. And on the first Lord's Day, they go down by the river and they find some Jewish women, business women, by the way, who are worshiping God. And they share the news that Jesus, the Messiah, is here. And they believe. And they began supporting Paul and Silas while Paul and Silas preached the gospel. Now, that hosting only lasts about 3 weeks. Paul gets himself in trouble, has to run out of town for his own safety. You can read the story, Acts chapter 16. And he goes from there out of the area of Macedonia down and to Thessalonica. And he begins missionary work some more, where again he gets in trouble and gets run out of town before he gets stoned to death. That's a pattern. But he says, you've been supporting me all along. You sent help to me. So you've been concerned about me. You've been participating in the mission that God has given us to spread the gospel everywhere. The gospel that Jesus is the Messiah of God. And now he says, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. It appears that Paul has written this letter from jail in Rome. It's several years after his visit to Philippi. Things aren't going too well. And now you have to figure, Philippi, sort of northeastern Greece over in that area, Macedonia. So they have to go clear down around the Aegean Sea and walk clear across land over to Italy to get to Rome. Okay? It's about an 800-mile journey, ancient setting. 800 miles today, zip on a plane, you're there just a few hours, but ancient setting, okay? You've been concerned about me again. You have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. And I am now generously supplied by the gifts that you gave me. It appears to have been a sacrificial offering. I know you've been concerned, but you didn't have the chance to help me. And there's question what that meant. Part of it was in his travels, they couldn't always know where he was to send the gift. Paul was all over the place, trying to keep up with him. You know, no cell phones, nothing modern, just ancient times. So part of it, they may not have had opportunity. Part of it, we know that they, throughout wherever Paul went, in the wake of his ministry, there was severe persecution. And so they may have lost jobs, lost business, and so the availability of money may not have been the same. We don't know what the situation is. But they've taken this offering. They've discovered he's in Rome, in jail, and they recruit their friend Epaphroditus to take a good gift. We have no idea what the amount is. From Philippi down around over to Rome, 800 miles. And he calls it a sweet-smelling gift. Sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, helping me advance mission. And my God, he's going to supply your needs as you have supplied mine. As you've participated with me in mission, now God's going to help you in mission. My God will supply all your needs. As we're participating in God's mission, God provides to advance the work of his mission in the world today. That's when I do offertory prayer. Lord, we give this to you for your mission locally and globally. We're a part of something much bigger than us. It's God's great, marvelous work. Cindy gets that wrapped in when she does the offering, presenting the offerings to God. It's a part of how we do it. Wow. Now, the Bible is full of some stories that illustrate this, and my God will supply all your need. Now, one of these is the story of Abraham. Abraham's an interesting character, a real illustration of what it means to trust in God and faith. He's 75 years old one day, living up in the land of Haran, northern Mesopotamia, really modern-day Turkey, is where he was living. 75 years of age, the Bible says. And God says, Abram, I've got a new challenge for you. And he says, I'm 75 years old. I'm here with my family. I've got my wife, and we've got my nephew, and I've got my brother, and God says, I got a job for you. I want you to go to a whole new land that I will show you. And when you get there, you'll know you're there. And I've got a very mission for you. 75 years old. Now, I want you to go to this. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm 75 years old. Wife's 65. Check the biology. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You'll be a blessing. All people on earth will be blessed through you. God's given him a mission. I'm going to make you into a nation, and that nation is to reveal me to the world. That's the mission right there. There's mission. Oh, 20-some years later, he's approaching 100. His wife, Sarah, approaching 90. And they finally get, okay, I haven't quite forgot you. Now, wouldn't you think, 75, you've moved to the new land, and you're approaching, and you still don't have this kid? Got the picture? And God says, oh, by the way, I didn't forget you. This time next year, you're going to have a son, born natural means, conception, all that. Okay, we've had the sun, we've had the sleepless nights, And now a few years later, God says, Abraham. And I've asked Ben to read the story. It's found in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Listen to this story.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He called to him, Abraham. And Abraham answered, Yes, here I am. Take your son, God said, your only son Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. There, on a mountain that I will show you, offer him as a sacrifice to me. Early the next morning, Abraham cut some wood for the sacrifice, loaded his donkey, and took Isaac and his two servants with him. They started out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham saw the place in the distance. Then he said to the servants, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go up there and worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham made Isaac carry the wood for the sacrifice, and he himself carried a knife and live coals for starting the fire. As they walked along together, Isaac said, Father? He answered, Yes, my son. Isaac asked, I see that you have the coals for the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Abraham answered, God himself will provide one. And the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place which God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood upon it. He tied up his son and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he picked up the knife to kill him. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! He answered once again, Yes, here I am. Do not hurt the boy or do anything to him, he said. Now I know that you honor and obey God because you have not kept your back on your only son from him. Abraham looked around and saw a ram caught in a bush by its horns. He went and got it and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham named that place, The Lord Provides. And even today, people say, On the Lord's mountain, He provides. The angel of the Lord called Abraham once again from heaven a second time. I make a vow by my own name, the Lord is speaking, that I will richly bless you. Because you did this and did not keep back your only son from me, I promise that I will give you as many descendants as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand along the seashore. Your descendants will conquer enemies. All of the nations will ask me to bless them, and as I have blessed your descendants, all because you obeyed my command. Abraham went back to his servants, and they went together to Beersheba, where Abraham settled.
How does and my God shall supply your needs fit this story of Abraham? Well, there's some similarities between the story of the Philippians and the story of Abraham. There's a call from God to a new life, a new mission, at age what? Okay, you got that? Now, whether you want to read this literally or symbolically, it's old. Okay, we got that? You don't need to argue about that anymore. He's old. Got that? There just went the excuse, I'm too old. Right? What's God calling you to do? I will make you a blessing. The mission is always to be a blessing. This nation was never to exist just so it could live as a gift to the world. This nation was designed to be a blessing. Not a powerhouse, a blessing. That's always God's call. Always, 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 always. More than just being nice and charitable, it's to be a representative of God in the world. Always, always, always. So there's a call from God. There's the provision of God, a son. Yeah, age 100, 90 for Sarah. God has a challenge. God makes the provision. He gives a son. Was it too early? Absolutely not. Was it too late? According to what standard of measure? Test. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. On one of the mountains, I won't tell you about. Frank and Nancy, aren't they great? They released their son David to California, 3,000 plus miles away, to be a pastor. That's great. They can still fly out and see him. Look at the difference of this one. Kill him. Slay him. How impossible is God's challenge for you? I really believe the object of the test is, from God to Abram, do you love this son more than you fear me as God? There's the test. What's most important? God, I'll worship you, but the promise is, I have provided and. So are you working with a but or an and? You can pray that but just however you want. So why does God test us when he supposedly knows our hearts and our thinking? We could get in big theology debate, but, you know, the freedom of man versus the sovereignty of God. How much does God really know? Where does God block? You know, we can gum that one plumb death, and we have. But the question came to mind, I wonder if the real test needed here was Abraham. Sometimes we only understand what the priority in our lives is when we come to the tests. So is the test for God's sake or for Abraham's sake? Why does God test us when he knows our hearts and our thinking? Maybe it's because we don't know our hearts and our thinking. So there was the test. Present your son a burnt offering. Not just out on a simple mission. The next step we see in the story is obedience. Immediate obedience. Previous stories, Abraham tries negotiating with God. On this one, the next morning, he heads out. One day, God says, do this. The next morning, he's on his way. Immediate obedience. The second is total obedience. He's learned to trust God. Have you learned? Trust. Show it by your obedience, not by your talk. There's the provision of God. The angel of the Lord stopped Abraham. Abraham had aced the test. Then God opened Abraham's eyes to see a ram caught in a thicket. Now, that raised questions for me. Was that ram there all the time, and Abraham so focused that he didn't see did he see the ram in the thicket and say, yeah, I wonder if God could just sort of let me use the ram instead of my son? That makes sense. It's more moral. It's more. Or is God miraculously just zap, and all of a sudden there was the ram? Or you can argue it whichever way you want. The Bible doesn't say it. It just says, here's what it really says. God opened Abraham's eyes, and Abraham looks, and he sees a ram caught in the thicket. And he goes, pulls the ram, and he and Isaac sacrifice the ram. Notice it's not two rams. Notice it's not the beginning of a new herd. One. It doesn't say he takes it home and says, let me add to my wealth. He gives it as a sacrifice to God. How practical is that? When God calls, that's what's practical. Nothing less. Right, Quint? So God affirmed his covenant with Abraham, and that covenant down through the years became the nation of Israel, and through that nation of Israel comes Messiah. And through Messiah, we are now the new Israel of God as his church. Wow. Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. Yahweh Yireh, or as the song said, the Danita used prelude, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So I got a question for you, another one. I've got a bunch of them today, don't I? Are you living in the province of the Lord will provide? Are you? Application. There's a call from God to be a wholehearted follower of Jesus, oftentimes leaving the familiar and the comfortable to live as a follower and a representative of Jesus in our world. We're not called to comfort and wealth, we're called to obedience. That's a call to step aside from the patterns of this world and the way the world does things to follow Jesus and the ways prescribed in Scripture. Jesus is our model and our Lord. From the way we deal with the things we own to the ways we deal with relationships with others. Jesus is the model. It calls for total submission to Jesus as Lord and his mission. I debated, and as the week went on and after I'd already put notes together and slides and submitted them to Linda for putting up, maybe the real title, instead of being The Lord Will Provide, is God Calls Us to Complete Submission. Obedience. Opportunities? What is God prompting you to do? Is there a specific task or a ministry God's been... Maybe you just know God's calling you, but you don't have a specific objective. What are you doing with provisions God has given? You say, I'm not sure what... he has. Have you heard about the Holy Spirit lately? If you're a Christian, God's already given you the provision of the Holy Spirit who is with you every day, every hour. The Scripture is a provision of God. The church is a provision of God for you. What about gifts for ministry? Every believer is given specific gifts for ministry to be used in team with the rest of the church. What are your gifts? Where are you using it? Where are you plugged in? Are you still looking in from the outside? He uses through life experience to make you a blessing to your world. Are you a blessing or a pain? Are you being obedient to the promises you made to God in the past? God, I haven't quite made it. You fill in the blank. I will. Are you being obedient? Mission opportunities where you live. Are we being obedient? The Lord will provide. He's already started. What are you doing with what you've received? My God will supply all your needs. Another word got in there somewhere, but it passed the spell check. My God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God. God's call. Today, I'm not asking you to jump up and down and yell, I can do everything. Here's my invitation. Submit your whole self, body, soul, spirit, abilities, possessions to God. When you start asking the question, think of Abraham. Age 75, leave the familiar, go to the new. Age 100 and something, offer your only son whom you love. Several years ago in a similar sermon, a young lady by the name of Judy Carney heard the call of God, gave up occupation in which she was climbing the ranks rapidly in the banking business. God called her to a whole new way. Submitted herself to the course of study for ministry ordination. God has used her in unique and powerful ways. She's a part of our church because of that call. What's God's call for you? I'm right at the end of my time, but I want to share a prayer with you. It's on a video clip. I invite you to watch it. Pray the prayer. Linda? Short. When you do, we can add, and my God will supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I invite you to stand. And on that promise, the apostle adds a blessing. I share it with you in benediction. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen.